Joining us this morning is Senator Julie Daniels and Representatives Judge Strom and Daryl Fincher. Guys, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great.
Yes. We have that get out of school feeling ourselves.
Running in the halls, it's been wonderful.
You guys just finished your first session, at least Strom and Fincher, you guys have. How does it feel? I know you said you feel great, but how do you feel about the work that has been accomplished in this first session that you've attended?
I think one of the good things is, you know, when we stood on the doorstep, we all stood on doorsteps, to run for election, is people just want to see the legislature and the government work again. And we really succeeded at that. We got a lot done. We did it without a whole lot of drama. I was very pleased with how it all turned out.
I agree with that. I made a circle yesterday. You know, they told us in the beginning that we were going to be drinking from a fire hose, having to learn how all the system works down there. You know, there were 46 freshmen coming in, which was the largest freshman class ever. So I made it a point yesterday to walk around and find all of our leadership and shake their hand and thank them for all of the hard work they did integrating all of these newbies into the building. And ultimately, we were able to get right to work and just get a lot of great legislation through. We were able to do a lot of good work, I think, for the people of Oklahoma on our first session. So I'm really proud of what we were able to do.
I absolutely agree with that. There may have been some drama behind closed doors, but in large part, it was a very good budget. Obviously, when you have more money to spend, it is easier, although people will always argue about how to spend it. And certainly we managed to save some, too. But there were some very good policy measures passed this year, some of which had to do with the budget. And from my personal perspective, this is my third year. And since this was the first time I had chaired a committee and been in leadership, that gives you a whole new perspective on the job. And, it's an honor to be able to do that. Maybe a little bit extra work, a little bit extra time. But I think I have a greater appreciation for the system that we've set up in our country and our state and how it works and all the dynamics of these different human beings trying to represent their constituents and their political philosophy and in the end come out with a really good legislative session in terms of budget and policy.
And what do you think some of the highlights were for this session from each of you, from your respective places?
Oh, education. What we were able to do for education. I don't have the exact what we were able to get into it, able to get $157, almost $158 million in new funding for education. What we were able to do, different things to be able to bring back teachers to the profession in Oklahoma, to retain those good teachers. I think that was absolutely the highlight of this session.
It was. I mean, over the last 2 years, we've increased education funding by over 26%, which is a huge accomplishment. I think we've turned the corner. I think that we have are showing as a state that we believe education is critical, not only just K-12, but career tech, higher ed, and all the forms of it, you know, and so that we will continue to fund it.
And I know that, do you have something you want to say, Julie? Sorry.
Well, just since they've touched on education, a couple of other highlights. We may have learned a lesson about those down budget years. The Rainy Day Fund is probably going to top out at $858 million on its own. We're not going to have to put any extra into it. But what we did do, partly because the governor had said we should, and I think the majority party, certainly in the Senate, wanted to, is to find a way to put aside $200 million by using a stabilization fund that had never had money put into it. They kept delaying making the first deposit because of the off years. So we made that deposit. And if we continue to use the formula we've adopted for gross production taxes and corporate income taxes to put money into that, the next recession will be easier. Another couple of things we did was we opened a fund to preserve Medicaid provider rates in the recession and put $29 million into that. And they did that by saying in the generous years when our Medicaid rates are matched by the federal government, we're going to capture some of that money and not spend it all at once. And we were able to raise provider rates in the nursing homes, I think, by about 15%. But in various places, we've learned now how to sock away a little money for the off years. And that's a very adult, mature way to address the fact that there will be recessions in the future. So I was gratified that we finally took those steps.
We did. And, you know, talking about provider rates, we did increase provider rates as well. We're trying to be prudent about it. We would have loved to have done more. But with three major groups, the House, the Senate, and the governor, all having to agree. We all got our top priorities, but there are still things that we all would have liked to have worked on that we're going to continue to work on to bring in next time.
And go ahead, do you have something?
I want to discuss kind of more with what Senator Daniels was talking about. The reason that savings is so important, and we discussed it so much, is we are, while aeronautics has taken over as the second largest income of the state, we are still a commodities-based economy with oil, agriculture, and whatnot. And when we, I guess, the easy way to say it is when we get used to living a certain way and then that cycle comes around and we hit a downturn, we don't want to have to make cuts again. We don't want to make cuts to those agencies because that's so hurtful to them, to the people that you know, utilize those services. And so having that money in savings, we'll be able to make it through one of those downturns again while maintaining the, you know, the same quality of services that the state can provide until we make the next up cycle.
What would lead to another downturn?
What would lead to another downturn?
Yes.
Well, the bottom falling out of the oil and gas market, a failure to resolve things with China, a global uprising in the Middle East, bad weather, which we've had for those people who provide the food on our tables. So, any number of things, but as Representative Strom said, recognize what kind of economy you have, even as you try to diversify it, or you do diversify it, and put some of that money away. And I just want to say, it is a pleasure to serve with two fiscal conservatives, who understand that spending it all is not always the best for even those that you're trying to help. A couple of other things just sort of involved with the budget. One of the Senate's big reform ideas was to put in this new budget office shared by the Senate and the House, where we can go do some forensic investigations of how the agencies spend their money and whether the programs they have are duplicative or maybe they're no longer needed. Can they be outsourced? Can we digitize something? The governor's really big on digitization. In fact, even though OMES, Office of
Management Enterprise Services.
Yes, and you used to work for them. So you're the one who can remember the acronym. I never can. I always want to say M means municipal, but I know that's wrong. They have not been the poster child of the legislature in the past couple of years, but the governor wanted, I think it was $16 million, mm-hmm. to really try to push digitization of government services, and we agreed to go with that because we think that he has the talent and skill and has the people working with him to accomplish that. There was some other special thing we did for him. Do either of you recall what it was?
The Office of Accountability.
That was the LOFT, right. Legislative Office of Fiscal Transparency that we passed, and we're just on his desk now waiting for the signature. But we also did work on, he asked for support with the agency so he can now appoint agency heads. He did come and talk to us, and he was very clear after there was some miscommunication about could the agencies really talk to us as oversight things. He actually came and talked to us and said, I have actually told them since that they're to answer every single question that they're asked by anybody in the legislature. So he understands our responsibility as oversight for all the agencies too.
And just kind of looking ahead, we have about 5 minutes or so here left. You guys said you still have work to do. What kind of work do you guys have to do left?
Well, on a personal note, I left some bills, pulled some bills that I thought needed more work. Passed a couple of bills that need work now that they've been implemented, and the whole criminal justice reform, law and order, public safety is still got a lot of contention, and I don't know if the two sides don't respect each other or they're suspicious of each other, but we the legislators got caught in the middle of that, and then the governor wanted to participate, and that was sort of a new wrinkle on things. And so we didn't get everything the criminal justice reformers thought we should have. Then the law and order public safety people think we've gone too far. And I'm really interested in trying to come to some practical resolution. It may be taking on more than, and I'm sure there are others thinking the same way in my caucus. So I would like to try and facilitate listening to all these different groups. And I don't want whining. The whining really doesn't help anymore. And the statistics of being number one in incarceration, I've got it. I want to talk practicalities. But I'd like to have some discussions with some of my colleagues and these different interest groups. Let's talk about what might really work. What's practical? because we had a whole bunch of criminal justice reform bills this year. Some of them conflicted with each other, and I admit that there was some confusion. And so in the end, perhaps we didn't satisfy those who wanted to move that needle, as the governor says. We didn't move that needle as much as some wanted, but we'll be working on it throughout the year.
Well, in the House, you know, the governor came in and asked for several things, and we were able to pass them all out of the House. Now, we did have the one on bail reform that came through. I think that one just kind of showed up late because I was having people advocate against it. But it was obvious they never actually read what was in the final conference bill. They were still operating off what the first one was. And I think one of the real challenges is getting good data. Everybody would bring me stories, anecdotes, and they were handing these things out. 330 million people in the U.S., you're going to find some terrible things that happen. You can always pass those out. But when I'd say, show me that this specifically, because we've done this in other states, has affected public safety, then try to hand me another story. It's like, no, bring me data. We know there's data out there. Let's go find the data. But they couldn't have it. Just so you know, while the bill did fail in the House, through a legislative maneuver, we kind of rescinded the vote so it can still be alive and be discussed over the interim and hopefully come up with something. It'd be probably a new bill, but it allows us to sit down and actually work on it. If that had been final action, we couldn't talk about it for another year till the next legislature, the 58th. So,
I think in the interim, too, some of the important things we're going to be working on before we come back next session is, I know there's been a lot of attention already paid to a health care option for the state of Oklahoma. And, you know, I think that we've heard about a petition vote to expand Medicaid. And really what we're working on and trying to figure out is an Oklahoma plan, something that works best for us, where we can still provide health care options for our children, for our elderly, for people that aren't able to work or to get, you know, get insurance through your work and really do something that we can afford that really provides for the people of Oklahoma. And we're going to be working on that really all through the interim, trying to figure out the best option for that.
Well, guys, thank you so much for your time. I think that's all the time that we have for Capital Call. I don't know, will we see you guys next week? Or
I hope so. I thought we had one more wrap-up.
I think so.
Just in case not, thank you, Phillip 66. It's an honor to serve. I think all three of us actually enjoy the work, and we've enjoyed working with each other.
I want to thank everybody, meanwhile, before we get out of here, for giving me the opportunity to go and do this. To work in that building every day has just been the greatest honor, and I've got to meet some wonderful people and I think be a part of some wonderful things happening for my neighbors, and it's just been amazing. It really has.
I agree. It's been wonderful. I love having constituents come in and visit with me. They actually get a whole lot more time than the lobbyists ever get. It's been great working with people. People want to see us work. Want to thank Phillip 66 for doing this. So be happy to come back and talk next week as well.
Yeah.
Right. We'll see you guys next Friday. That was a Capital Call here on K1.
That's not the sound of a full tank. That's the sound of not missing her soccer game, of making it to the meeting, or driving as far away from the meeting as humanly possible, getting away for the weekend, or making it home just in time for weird taco night. Because tonight's featured taco is cheese puffs and ketchup popcorn, and you don't want to miss that. At Phillips 66, it's not just about the fuel. It's about weird taco night. It's about